Well, we are in Luke, you know, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and then the so-called prodigal son, or is it sometimes called the parable of the waiting father, which is probably a better title. That's true. How about the parable of the searching shepherd, the looking lady, and the forensic father? No, that's not right. Okay. Anyway, you know what I mean. Frenetic, right. So let's do verses 1 to 3. We have start out with a periphrastic participle, your favorite kind. This is Luke 15, verse 1. We have the form of eimi, eison de auto engidzantes. So you link up eison, they were, and then engidzantes, engidzantes. So they were drawing near to him. Now we finally get the subject of the plural verb. Pantes hoi telonai kai hoi hamar teloi, the tax gatherers and the sinners. So these are the outcasts of society. The common comment is correct. The no counts, the marginalized, if you will. So all the tax gatherers and the sinners were drawing near to him. Why? Infinitive expresses purpose, to hear him. Sometimes a kuo takes a genitive object. You see that it's autu, not auton. And the old classical rule that the grammars sometimes say is that the person you're hearing is in the genitive and the accusative expresses what you hear. This is a distinction, of course, that the New Testament does not always observe. And so you just kind of learn to expect sometimes you'll get the genitive and sometimes you'll get the accusative after a kuo. So on the one hand, we have a nice contrast here. On the one hand, the tax gatherers and the sinners are gathering, drawing near to hear him. On the other hand, verse 2, and both the Pharisees, both the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling, diagongringidzo, which is almost onomatopoetic, saying, excuse me, quote, the hutti there probably introduces direct discourse. This guy, sinners, receives and eats with them. And all of the stuff about table fellowship, it's a powerful theme in the Gospel of Luke. it is probably both fulfillment of Old Testament theme and eschatological anticipation of the great feast. Yahweh feeding his people, and now in the person of Christ coming to eat with them and provide for them. And as Lutherans, of course, we know where that leads, and that's exactly right. But this is the context. You have, on the one hand, the tax gatherers and the sinners, and on the other hand, you have both the Pharisees and the scribes. By the way, here's your Greek accent trivia for the day. In verse 2, the third word is Omicron iota, and it's got a rough breathing mark and an accent on it. Why is this not a relative pronoun? Bingo! Jonathan, you have not been spending enough time with your family if you can answer a question like that. That's right, because the te following is enclitic, right? And it causes an accent to fall on the definite article, which would normally just be hoi without an accent mark, so. Jonathan gets a free ice cream cone of your choice. 3 scoops. That's right. So we've got 2 groups. Let's tell a parable about a man with 2 sons. What a great setup, right? Verse 3. He said to them this parable. He spoke to them this parable, saying. And then we skip verses 4 to 10. We get on to verse 11. And he said, a certain man, Achim, the imperfect of echo, maybe used to have 2 sons. Verse 12, and the younger of them said to the father, Father, give to me the falling to me portion of the stuff. Epibalo means, to fall to someone, just as you receive it. And meros is portion, and uzia is wealth or property. Now, by the way, I'll give another commercial, I always do in Luke 15, for the work of Ken Bailey, his book, A Poet and Peasant, and Through Peasant Eyes. He has lots and lots of stuff about ancient Near Eastern background and culture and stuff like that. Really good stuff. And he makes the point He makes lots of points. After a while, I begin to wonder if all of them are exactly true, as he says. But the point he makes is that for the son to ask for his inheritance now is the equivalent of wishing that his father were dead. I mean, and if that's the case, then this is an amazing thing to say, right? An amazingly sinful and offensive thing to say. Bailey says that when he tells this story in when modern Near Easterners, the Middle Easterners, hear the story now, they expect the father at this point to beat the kid up, you know, because he's just said, "You want me dead? I'll show you dead," and away they would go. So part of the amazing aspect of this parable is the vulnerability of the father and his willingness to be subject to shame and humiliation, all for the purpose of continuing to seek out his sons, both of them. We can't go into all the details that Bailey brings out, but I really recommend that his work to you, and it's out in several published formats. So, Father, dos, the aorist imperative didomi, give to me the portion of the inheritance which falls to me. And he diireoed, this is the aorist of diireo, dialen, he distributed or divided among them the life. And the sense is clear enough. Verse 13. And meta plus the accusative, after not many days, gathering everything, the younger son went on a journey, apo demeo, into a far region, and there he diascorpidzoed. In the aorist, he scattered, wasted his property. Zon is the present participle of zao, and it probably expresses manner, by living asotos, the adverb dissolutely or profligately. You know, etymologically, which should not be the way to go, it means unsavable, unsavably. You can see sozo and sotia and things like that. So, incorrigibly. And now we have a genitive absolute. Dapanao means to spend freely. After he had spent freely, panta, everything, a strong limas, limas ischira, a strong famine, hunger, limas means hunger, a strong famine happened. Kata plus the accusative with nouns of place can mean through or upon. So a strong famine came or happened through or upon that region. And he began to lack for himself, hystereo, to be in want. Verse 15, and he went and was joined, kolaomai, to one of the citizens of that region. He's kind of reading the narrative now, and he sent him, that would be the citizen, sent him, the younger son, into his fields to feed pigs. And now we have a series of imperfects that kind of stretches out the son's condition. And he kept on desiring to be satisfied from the carob pods, which the pigs kept on eating and no one kept on giving to him. I mean, it's three nice imperfects in a row. Let's stretch it out here a little bit. This guy's in a bad way and it's lasting a while, okay? Verse 17, something of a turning point, although not the big one. And the idiom works apparently in Greek just the way it does in English. And coming into himself, he came to himself, right? He came to his senses in a sense. Efe, from Femi, the imperfect, which does act like an aorist, sort of like apen, he said, how many wage earners of my father are being abounded of breads? Sense is clear enough. But I, with hunger here, am perishing. The middle of apalumi. Apalumi means to destroy. Middle is to perish. Getting up, I will go to my father and the future of Lego, ero auto, I will say to him, Father, Hamartan, the aorist of Hamartano, I sinned into, literally, or as often, against heaven and before you in your sight. No longer I am worthy, let's explain worthy now with an infinitive, worthy to be called your son. Poiesan me, make me as one of your misthias, one of your hired servants. And he got up and went to his own father. So he's got a plan, and he's already he already knows what he's going to say. Now, this is where I sometimes get a little nervous because this is a long story, there's lots of details, and it's easy to try to psychologize everything, you know? And so, for instance, Bailey does. He says that this son, at this point, still thinks he can work his way out of a jam, okay? Because he's going to go back to his father, and he's going to admit that he sinned, but he's going to say, make me as a hired servant. In other words, he's not throwing himself completely on the mercy of the Father, you know, but he can kind of maybe earn back the stuff he wasted and so forth and so on. Well, you know, that's possible. That's possible. I think another possible construct, however, is that the son thinks there is no way that he could ever be accepted back as a son. You know? That the words could be read that way too. Either way, the father gives him more than he even thought of asking for, and that's probably the most important point. Okay. But again, because it is such a famous story and it's so long and there's so many, I mean, comparatively speaking, there's so many details, it's easy to, you know, kind of approach over-psychologizing the characters in the parable. But nevertheless, you know, the parables of Jesus are, generally speaking, carefully crafted, you know, allegories. And the point is that he gets his speech all rehearsed. As we all know, he goes to the Father, and he doesn't get all the speech out. So whether you take it as he's sort of still thinking he can do it, or he doesn't even believe that he could ever be again the son of his Father, either way. But as you can tell right away, it'll sort of make a difference as to how you actually preach the parable. Because his internal dialogue here seems to be sincere. He did sin against heaven. He did sin in the presence, you know, before his Father. So I guess I might tend towards the latter of the two options, but at any rate, it won't be the main point of the sermon unless the sermon is really, really long. Continuing in verse 20, etida autu makran ap echantes, and while he was still, eti, far distant, ap echo, I hate the echo compounds because I always have to look them up. When it's used transitively with a direct object, it means to receive in full, as in the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus says, truly they are receiving their reward in full, right? When it's intransitive, it means to be a long way away. Now, how those two meanings are, I think this is like those Hebrew verbs where in Brown Driver Biggs you get Roman numeral 1, 2, 3, you know, for the same triliteral root, but anyway. Here it means to be far away. And while he was still far away, the father of him saw him, and he splanchnidzoed him. He had compassion. Only Jesus or God / Jesus figures in parables in the New Testament splanchnidzomai anybody. He had compassion. And dramon from trecho, the third principal part of trecho is edramon, and running. He fell upon his neck, and he kata phileoed him, and he kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, Hamartan, I've sinned against heaven and in your presence before you. No longer am I worthy to be called your son. End of son's dialogue. And maybe we'll take this de here, especially as but. Verse 22, but the father said to his slaves, quickly, tachu, right? You can remember that because of tachycardia, right? Quickly. Bring the first robe, the stolentein protein, and dress him, put it on him, and give a ring into his hand, and shoes into his feet, and bring the calf, the grain-fed one. Those of you that are from Nebraska or those places where they grow a lot of cows, right? Sitas is grain. Bring the fattened calf. Thizita, kill, and eating, here comes the joy. Let us be glad. From euphrino, the passive means to rejoice, be glad. Because this my son was dead, and he became alive. Interestingly, aorist here, an edzeisen. He got alive. He was apolalos, from apolemi again. He was lost, and he was found. And they began to be merry, to be glad. Story doesn't end, as we all know. And the son of him, the Presbyterian one, the older son was in the field. And as coming, he drew near to the house, he heard, this is kind of funny, he heard a symphony and choruses, right? He heard music and dancing, right? Symphonia and choros. He heard music and dancing. And calling, he called one of the servants and began to inquire at Pinthanata, from Pinthanamai, the Magi inquire, or is it Herod inquires of the Magi? Anyway, it's in Matthew 2. I know verbs that are in Matthew. He began to inquire. Now we have the dreaded optative plus on in a main clause, in a question that's reported here. And it you translate might, or what might these things be? A is the optative of ami. Luke uses the optative in independent clauses much more often than anybody else. St. Paul, of course, has his me genoita, which is may it never be. So, but with the on, you translate might or could or would. What might these things be? And he said to him, verse 27, quote, your brother has drawn near from Heko, is near from Heko, and your father slew the grain-fed calf because ap elaben, he received him being sound. He received him healthy, in good shape, right? Verse 28, and he became angry. He was wrathful, and he was not willing to enter. And now here's a point, again, according to Bailey, where the father's mercy and compassion goes over and above against the older son, because his refusal to enter into the family and what is probably a village feast is a public insult to the father. You know, Bailey makes a big deal about the older son, you know, being expected to act as the maitre d' and, you know, to host the thing, and he won't even go in to a feast that's being, you know, thrown by the father. So just as the father ran, oh, I forgot to mention that too, he runs to meet the younger son, throwing his ancient Near Eastern dignity to the wind, okay? Now he throws his dignity to the wind once again and subjects himself to public humiliation because he goes out to the son, right? This is not the way a normal ancient Near Eastern father behaves. The father of him, going out, began to beseech him. See, in the ancient world, fathers don't beseech sons. They tell sons what to do. You know, this is a strange father, right? He began to beseech him. But he, answering, said to his father, look, for so many years, accusative of extent of time, I am serving you, Duliuo takes the dative, and never I passed over, transgressed, never I passed away your command. Par erchomai normally means to pass away, but it can also mean to transgress. Never did I transgress your command, and to me never you gave a goat, so that with my philon, my friends, I might be glad. But when your son, this one, the one devouring of you the life with prostitutes, came, you killed, dative of advantage, for him, the fattened calf. Verse 31, and he said to him, child, you are always with me, and all the my things, your things are. Panta ta ema sa estin. But to be glad and to rejoice was necessary, ede. This is the great Lucan divine necessity. These things have to happen. Basically, they have to happen because Jesus is around. You know, that's what that's all about. Why? Because your brother, this one, dead was, and he lived, and lost, you have to supply was,